إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أن أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال الله تعالى أيضا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال الله تعالى أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My believing brothers and sisters in Islam, on this special day of Yom al-Jum'ah, I wish to remind myself and you of one of the grave circumstances that befalls the Ummah. And when I say the Ummah, I mean it in the sense that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam implied it, and he meant whenever he referred to the Ummah. And that is, my believing brothers and sisters, when we speak about the Ummah, our Sharia, the body of rules that we follow, includes non-Muslims. And so this Ummah is inclusive of Muslims and non-Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. That this Ummah, it is your Ummah, and I'm your Lord, and worship me. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the entire world as one Ummah and mentions himself as the Lord of this universe. When this problem that I refer to is the problem of racism and the secondary issues that comes with it. And so we find ourselves today faced at a very pivotal time where we have to react, sadly, to epidemic. And this, the source of this epidemic is actually in the heart. And so it is a human concern. And more importantly, it is a concern for us as Muslims. And so we need to go back to how is it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming into society that already had significant manifestations of racism such as slavery, how is it that he dealt with this? And how did Islam really provide a unity in the community? And many of us might say that this is not really relevant to us, whether it's in Canada or other parts of the world. But the thing about discrimination and bias is that it is very subtle and it is not apparent. So even the Sahabas, the pious amongst them, such as Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, when he referred to Bilal ibn Abi Rabah as the son of a black woman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being very conscious and cognizant of this bias, he said to him that in your heart it is something from Jahiliyyah. That in your heart there is something from Jahiliyyah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered this sort of behavior, referring to people by their color and also singling out the racism, referred to this as something from a medieval time, before the time of ignorance, before the time of enlightenment. And so we must always remember that regardless of where we're from, regardless of which society we live in right now, we all are influenced by the socioeconomic and political factors that we came from as migrants from our countries. And so my believing brothers and sisters, we turn to the Quran to really understand how is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unified us as an ummah. And the most encompassing ayah in the Quran, according to the scholars of fiqh, regards to this matter is in Surah Al-Isra, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولقد خلقنا ولقد كرمنا بني آدم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have basically made the entire mankind honorable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is further explained in Surah At-Tin when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We've created mankind in the best of forms. Not some of mankind, all of mankind. But what we see today is the opposite of this. People are intimidated by and scorn even black bodies. They're intimidated by it. People are killed simply because there's a perception of danger simply by a person being black. And even though this might not be rampant in our community here in Canada, we have other forms of discrimination that are rampant. And so this is a lesson for all of us. And so from the beginning of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tried and he was very cognizant, he was very aware of the racism in society. To such an extent that even before it became implicit in the Sharia to free slaves, for example, which is a manifestation of racism, the Sahabas, by the spirit of the Sharia, they used to free slaves. And there is no other resounding story that is more resounding like the story of Bilal ibn Abi Rabah. And so Umayy ibn Khalaf, the slave master of Bilal, he used to take him into the midday sun of the Arab desert, the boiling desert, and he would place on his back the armor, which is solid metal. And he would lie him down on his chest. And so the armor would burn into his back. And then when he was finished, he would turn him over, remove the armor, and lay a heavy stone onto his stomach. This is the persecution that Bilal received for the mere reason of saying, Allahu Ahad. Allah is one. And so Abu Bakr happened to be passing by, and he saw this, and he says, Ya Umayya, you know, you don't fear your Lord for these things that you do to these people? And Umayya said, well, if you're so concerned, then why don't you buy him? He says, I'll buy him from you. Give me a price. And so Bilal, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, you know, he made him an offer. He gave him an ounce of gold. And Umayya thought that this was a great deal. You know, such was the meaningless of life at that time. He thought this was a great deal. He said that, you know, if he had even given me less than that, I would have accepted it. Abu Bakr, being instilled with this great understanding of the oneness of humanity and the greatness of Islam, he said to him that if you were to ask of me of 100 gold coins, I would have given him, I would have paid it. It didn't matter the actual value that was going to, he recognized that this was not a part of Islam. To see people different from one another, to value someone else because of their color at a different value than someone else. And so this, even before the implicit mention in the Sharia, for example, freeing slaves, and this is something that we need to recognize. In regards to slavery, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom recognized that this was something that predated Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood that change would not come immediately, just like alcohol. So the prohibition for alcohol came in different stages. And it is important that we understand this, because many people have apostatized because they fail to understand why is it that Islam did not outrightly prohibit slavery in an ayah, for example. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when it came to talaq al-dihar, which is when a man claims that his wife is actually a sister because he was suckled by a woman, and many of the Arabs, they would do this without any proof. The Prophet ﷺ said that, no, this is not the case. You have to provide proof. And because you've done this, because you've divorced your wife, the tawbah, the penance that you have to do is to free a slave or to fast consecutively 2 months. And so the fast consecutively two months in the Arab world is very hard, even for the pious people of that time. So implicitly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually encouraging people to free slaves. And this is of course negating the ayats that speak about the benefits and the virtues of freeing a slave. And so from the perspective of the Sharia, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually sought to remove slavery from the Islamic civilization. We also look at the ayats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed addressing mankind, not addressing the Muslims, because this was a human problem. Ya ayyuha an-nas taqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. Oh mankind, fear the Lord that created you from a single soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this fact, a fact that was disputed a few decades ago. How is it that people of different colors can come from a single being? And in the process of studying evolution, scientists have actually come to recognize that pigmentation and bone structure is actually a matter of environment and not a matter of your actual genealogy that you gain from your parents. And so my believing brothers and sisters, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to over and over in the Quran, that we came from a single source. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقَنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. And this is probably one of the most significant ayats in the Quran in regards to unifying the ummah and recognizing that there is no fadl, there is no virtue of someone else over the other, except in taqwa. And the important thing to note here, my believing brothers and sisters, that taqwa is only understood and can only be measured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by any one of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we've created you into nations and tribes so that you may acquaint with one another, so that you can understand each other. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us into different shapes and colors and sizes and from different people. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he stood in his farewell khutbah, what became his farewell khutbah on Yom Arafah, the Prophet mentioned a lot of key issues facing the ummah of this time. And when we take into the consideration, into context, the significance of this khutbah, the Prophet says, وَلَا فَضْل لِأَعْرَبِينَ عَلَىٰ أَعْجَمِينَ وَلَا أَعْجَمِينَ عَلَىٰ أَعْرَبِينَ. The Prophet says, just like this ayah, he says there's no virtue of a Arab over non-Arab. And many of us, we know of this hadith. But we don't realize the Prophet could have stopped here. He didn't need to mention anything else. The entire mankind was already divided into two classifications, Arabs and non-Arabs. But he specifically mentions that there's no virtue over a white over a black, and a black over a white, illa fi taqwa. There's no virtue of a white person over a black person, or a black person over a white person, except in taqwa. And so the Prophet was very cognizant of the racism that still existed towards the end of his death. And it is for this reason that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal a verse that specifically prohibited slavery at that time. And even if it did, according to the scholars of tafsir that really discuss this point, they say that perhaps it would not have really resulted in the extermination of slavery. So my believing brothers and sisters, this is something that when we look back at our history, we understand that it was a concern. It was a concern of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam toward the end of his death about how people were treated. And we need to really, when we understand this, this understanding needs to inform our approach of how we help minorities in our community. Like I said, it might not be the Canadian problem at this moment. It might be more of a US problem. But it is a problem nevertheless. When we look at our communities, we need to ask ourselves a question. Does the masjid really reflect the demographic of the community that's around us? They may or may not be the case. But if there's a lack of a certain demographic, then we need to treat it as a problem. We pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those people. When we hear something good, we follow it. Barakallahu lakum fil Qur'an al-Kareem wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum lima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisali al-muslimin min kulli dhanb fastaghfiruhu innahu ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اكتفى بهدي واستنى بسنتي إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Believing brothers and sisters, on the day following Yom Arafah, according to the scholars of Islam who look at the sabab of wurud of this hadith, it is said that the Prophet ﷺ was sitting on his camel and he took the collar of a man that was close to him, not to hurt him, but he held his collar and he said, "Which day is this?" And the man, the Sahabas around them, they said that we thought he was actually going to change the name of this day, because they knew which day it was. But because of the way the Prophet was asking the question, they felt like he was going to change the name of this day. And he says, "It is Yawm al-Nahr. It is the day of sacrifice." And then he asked, "Which month is this?" Until they thought that he was going to change the name of the month. He says, "It is Dhul Hijjah." And then he said words that today are written in the most auspicious of places, in courtrooms. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, فَإِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَادَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that verily your blood, verily your property, verily your lives, your honor is sacred as the sacredness and sanctity of this day in this month. And the significance of this, my believing brothers and sisters, is that the Prophet is speaking about the entire ummah. When we neglect a cross section of our ummah, we're neglecting the entire ummah. The problems that we face, whether it's the Palestinian problem, the refugee problem, discrimination in this country or any other country, it is intrinsically linked to the black suffering. It is intrinsically linked to racism. Because if they're a greater minority and they can't win the basic rights that they have, then our rights will never be won. And also the legitimacy of our claim that we are oppressed is intrinsically linked to that of the black suffering and our black brothers and sisters. And we need to be aware of this. And this is not negating the fact that the first Muslims in North America were actually black slaves. And so my believing brothers and sisters, the remaining part of this hadith is what is really transcendent. You know, one of the qualities of the words of the Prophet is that he has Jawam al-Kalim, which is his word encompasses a lot of different meanings. But it's also a sifa of transcendence. There's a quality of transcendence. That is, the advice of the Prophet transcends time. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْأَهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوهَىٰ. That it is, he doesn't utter from his own desire. Rather, it is like revelation being revealed to him. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, فَلْيُبَلِّغُ شَاهِدُ الْغَائِبِ. He says, let those present give this message to those that are absent. And then he says, أَيُبَلِّغُ فَإِنَّ الشَّاهِدْ عَسَىٰ يُبَلِّغْ مَنْ هُوَ أَوْعَىٰ لَهُ مِنْ. He said that perhaps those that are present, when they tell those who are absent, it will mean more to those who are absent. And so the problem of racism still prevails today. And we need to ensure that we not only teach our kids, we have societies today that you go around the masjid and their little kids, 8 years old, they refer to the black little children, they refer to them as Abid. That is a Muslim problem. Children at the age of 8, they haven't learned world history, so they don't know about slavery. So the only way they can be referring to African kids as slaves is if it is in the household. So this is the problem for Muslims. It is not something that we should be leaving alone. If you look at the hadith of the Prophet, when he talked about the people that were on the ship, very famous hadith. Right? We can't be like those people that are atop deck, negating and neglecting what is going on below, because then it becomes a problem for the entire humanity. We pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those people who, when they hear something good, they follow it, And when they hear something bad, they stay away from it. We pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in mercy, to increase us in knowledge. Let us be amongst those people that benefit from knowledge that they seek. We pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our ummah, to unify us in all that is good. We pray and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our parents, to guide us, to increase us in taqwa, to cause us to benefit from the sacrifice of Ramadan. ألا نصلي ونسلم على خير البشر نبينا محمد كما أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم لما قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ورضى الله من الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان عن علي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين يا عباد الله إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقيموا الصلاة